Matthew chapter 18, and we're in verses 21 through to the end of the chapter, which is verse 35. So Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. And so this morning what we're going to be looking at is the area of forgiveness. As we look at kind of over the summer, looking at the idea of love and the important foundation that love is a fruit of the Spirit, and actually God wants to grow us in love, and how love is the foundation for everything else we do as Christians and those who are trying to be followers of Jesus. This morning we get to talk about the issue of forgiveness. And this morning, whether you're here this morning and you're on a journey with Jesus or you're not on a journey with Jesus, this message still applies to you. The core foundations of what I'm going to say today matter whether you believe or you don't believe, because forgiveness is something that even the secular culture understands as being something really important to bringing release in the lives of individuals. So let's see what Jesus has to say about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. As he began the settlement of a man who owed him tens of thousands of talents, the man was brought in. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all the debts of you because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have shown mercy to your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay it back what he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of us unless you forgive your brothers from your own heart." Pretty crazy story. And the sort of the violence that you get there at the end of that story gives us an indication of how important forgiveness is. That if Jesus is going to use language, which to us seems a bit, that seems a bit hard, he's obviously trying to make a point about the importance of forgiving. Now, when you look at the issue of forgiving, when you read articles by counsellors in the secular world, as well as Christian counsellors and people in the spiritual world, the thing about forgiveness is, when we don't forgive people, what happens is, it doesn't just sort of stay there as a sort of unaffecting thing in your life. Forgiveness starts to take a root, and unforgiveness can turn into bitterness. And bitterness can root down into our heart and our being, and it causes everything else in us to start becoming bitter. And unforgiveness can therefore have an impact not only on your spiritual life, it has an impact on your emotional life, but also on your physical health. It isn't just what the Bible says, this is what secular science is saying to us. It's the fact that actually, when there's unforgiveness, when there's unresolved issues in our life and our being, it will affect us. It will affect you. And so Jesus is making this really important point that forgiveness is really important because it does something to rectify the situation. Now, Peter comes in the beginning of this passage and says, "Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? Now, what you have to understand here is in the Jewish law of the day that you would forgive people 4 times. That's how many times you would forgive someone before you then called them to account and took revenge on them. So when Peter says, "Jesus, do you forgive them 7 times? What he's saying is, I'm so holy and spiritual. Not only am I'm not going to forgive him four times, I'm going to do it seven times. And Jesus goes, you idiot, basically. He says, no, seven times 70. And what he's trying to say basically is, enough times to the point where you forget what it is that was wrong. That forgiveness is something of a way of life for those who want to follow Jesus. It's not just a how many times before I can then do what I want to do. How many times before I can then take revenge and do it my way? Jesus says, no. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, it's something that you have to practice. See, forgiveness isn't something you can kind of go, oh, I'll do this today, it'll be fine and lovely, and it's all sorted and resolved. Forgiveness is something that we have to practice as people, and the more we practice it, the more release it will bring in our life, but also the better we'll get at it. It doesn't come easy. Because forgiveness deals with hurting. Now this morning, I cannot cover in one message the fullness of forgiveness. And I understand that when we talk about the issue of forgiveness, for some people here, it will bring up a lot of big issues. So I'm going to do my best to try and navigate through this. I want you to stick with me to the end, because I will try and cover some of the big things that this might touch on. But we're going to look at this morning, first and foremost, of how are we called to forgive? And what's the implications of when we forgive? What's going on here, according to what Jesus says from this story and this parable? The first thing we understand when we come to this passage, after we understand that Jesus is saying, you do this multiple times, this isn't a one-time thing, isn't a set number of times you do this, this is a, you practice this, you practice this, you practice this, you keep trying, and you keep trying, and you keep going on this. The next thing we understand is, in this parable that Jesus tells, a man comes in who has a debt. And the first thing I want to say this morning is a reminder to us that our actions have consequences. Now, some of you are thinking, that's really obvious. But we live in a culture right now, in my culture particularly, in younger culture, what's called millennial culture, which you might have heard in the news quite a lot recently, millennial culture, there's an idea that actually I can just do whatever I want and there's no consequences to my actions. Because my parents will bail me out, or someone else will bail me out, or it's someone else's fault I've ended up in the situation that I'm in. And there's this kind of culture of blame, of going, well, it's their fault. And again, you see this on the TV, don't you, with no win, no fee claims. Something's happened to you? Quickly, blame them for it. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else who has to do something for you. And actions have consequences. And I have to understand that, because we'll come back to this later on, of the importance of that particular statement. That our actions have consequences, but more than that, our actions affect others. And again, we live in a culture right now which is so selfish, and it's all about how it affects you. And we don't often then think about how our actions affect others. So our actions have consequences, but also our actions affect other people. And in the story which Jesus tells, a man comes in, who has racked up a huge debt, he can't pay it back, and when faced with the consequences of his actions, he says, wasn't my fault, I'll pay it back at some point. But also his actions don't just affect him, they affect his family, and they affect the person who he's in debt to. There's consequences to his actions, and his actions affect other people. Now, the man who's the master of the king, who has a debt against him, there are three things I want to look at this morning which we can learn from about the way he chooses to forgive this particular man and how then I might say how we choose to forgive other people. Now, the first thing in forgiveness is this, that when it comes to forgiving people, there is a cost to this. The king, who's had a debt against him, for him to forgive the man, it costs him the amount that he's owed. So when you come to forgive people, it's not saying, everything's fine now, it doesn't matter. It will cost you. And there'll be a cost that you will never get back. So if you've been hurt by someone, or if something's happened to you, you've been wronged by someone, to forgive is costly. It will cost you something. The king has to assume the debt himself and take it on himself in order to forgive the man. And we often think that kind of forgiveness is a lovely kind of fluffy word of, oh, it's just nice. We think about how God forgives. It's costly. It costs him his life. Forgiveness costs something to the one who is choosing to forgive. So as you come think about forgiving people, you have to understand it's not saying everything's fine now. It will cost you. But there is a burden to that. There is a hardness to that. But you see, a debt is never reclaimed by holding a grudge. Often we hold on to things, what is sort of repayment for the cost that it's cost us, for the hurt, for the hardship. And we hold on to that hurt in the hope that somehow it will be paid back. And holding on to a grudge will not repay the debt. So we come to forgive. It's not saying that you haven't been hurt. It's not saying that it hasn't happened to you. It's saying, this is going to cost me to forgive. It's going to be really hard to do this. And I'm not going to get back what's been stolen from me. That's why forgiveness is really hard. Because it doesn't make everything okay. But we'll talk about what it does do in a second. It will cost you. The other thing it costs you is it costs you your anger. When we have an offence against someone, we quite like it sometimes. Because it gives us power. Because we feel in the right. And just before this passage in Matthew, it talks about when people have grievances against each other. And the great thing about when someone's offended us, the reason we don't want to forgive is because we quite like having the power over them of we've been wronged. It makes us feel better about ourselves. And so one of the costs of forgiveness is to let go of the power that we think we have because we have something over someone else. So we have something over someone else and we feel we are right and they are wrong. It makes us feel really good about ourselves. So one of the costs is pride. One of the costs is giving up the right to be angry. Giving up that sense of power, that sense of, I'm in the right. And that's difficult, because we like being in the right. So to forgive people, it costs. The second thing in this passage is, forgiveness, when we choose to forgive, it brings release. Now the man who's got the debt is released from his debt. But the one who does the forgiving is also released. Because whilst this debt is between them, not only is the one who's in debt constantly bound to that person, but the one who is owed the debt is bound to that person. You can't move on from it because it's still connecting you, because there's still an issue there. And when you choose to forgive and say, actually, I'm just going to assume the cost of this, it breaks that connection. It breaks that issue, and it releases you. Because after this, the king wasn't then going to be chasing after that man, wanting his money back. It'd been resolved. And so when you choose to forgive someone, it releases you. It does release the other person as well, but more importantly, it releases you. Which is why forgiveness is so powerful. Which is why it doesn't matter whether you believe in this spiritual stuff or not this morning. If you choose to forgive, you'll find it releases you. And in counselling, this is a really important tool of getting people to forgive things that have happened in their life to them. Because it brings release. You can then move on and say, actually, you know what? I'm going to stop calling in that debt. I'm going to stop making that an issue. I'm going to stop that being something that I constantly go back to as being something that I can't move on from. So it's costly. But it also brings release to you, and it brings release to that person. And it breaks the issue between you, and it means you can move on and be freed from it. When there's unforgiveness, it's like being chained to something that you just can't get rid of. So unforgiveness brings release. See, forgiveness, what it does is it releases from a hostage situation. When there's unforgiveness between people, it's like you're being bound to it. You can't move on from it. It's like you're a hostage. And so we have to choose to release it so it sets us free. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. Now, it's not an overnight thing for all situations. Depending on the severity of the hurt that you face or the wrong that's been done to you will depend on how long this takes and how easy it is as an action of will. And at the end of this service, I want to give you some steps to forgiveness that you can walk through to help you in that journey of forgiveness. And sometimes we have to go on a journey of grief. So we have to go on a journey of feeling the emotions that we feel before we can get to the place where we can choose to forgive and then release. Because often when we don't want to deal with a topic or an issue that's happening in our life and we don't want to deal with unforgiveness, we then choose not to feel any of the feelings that we have around it. And we bottle them up, and again, then they root down into our lives and they turn to bitterness and resentment. And they turn into things which then ultimately emotionally affect us, spiritually affect us, and also physically affect our health. So to move forward, it's an action of will to choose to release the debt and assume the cost that it will be for us. The next thing is that forgiveness feels. What do I mean by that? In this passage, and I think in the NLV it says, the king had pity on the servant. That's the same word pity that we had last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan. This word that is only used of Jesus in the New Testament. And it's always referred to when Jesus is about to do something miraculous. It says, he has compassion and then he heals. He had compassion, then he feeds the 5,000. He had compassion and that made him desire to see the world saved. It was through when he had compassion that he healed the blind. It was this word, it's only used of Jesus. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. They're all either references to Jesus doing something, or there's 3 times when Jesus uses them in parables, and this is one of them. And he's saying, this man has pity, i.e. he has compassion, which is this sort of gut-wrenching response. There is a compassion, there is an emotional reaction to what's going on here. And as we try and grow in compassion, we talked about last week about the need to grow in that compassion in order to release the power of God's love, in order to then grow new life and see the powerful things of the kingdom come into being. If our aim is to try and become more compassionate, what we see is that when we become more compassionate, it allows us more opportunity to be more forgiving. And so the maturity we're trying to go on as a journey is to try and become more compassionate. Why? Because in compassion, it often allows us to see not just that I've been wronged by someone, but it helps us see that maybe I've been wronged by someone and maybe there's a reason behind that person acting that way. So don't we try to justify saying that person was justified in what they did or has done. But what I'm saying is that compassion allows us to go, the reason I can forgive that person isn't just because I want the release of that, but I understand that that person is broken as well. And because they're broken, that can be reasons why they've acted the way they've acted. And so our ability to have that Christ compassion, that kind of that, inside of us, is to go, I am wronged by you, I've been hurt by you, but I understand that you're a broken person. I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, but it's a phrase I think is so true. Hurt people hurt people. If you've been hurt, we end up hurting other people. Because when you have been broken, we then lash out and break. So people who are hurting often end up hurting people. Not intentionally, not because they want to, but because out of what our experience has been, we then often then replicate that and we then project that feeling of hurt onto other people. So hurt people end up hurting people. So we need to understand with compassion that often people who have hurt us or have wronged us, there's a reason behind that. And Christian maturity is being able to go, it doesn't mean to say it was right, but I understand that person is also broken. But they're not perfect. Actually, maybe there's a reason why that person has done the things that person has done. So those are the 3 things about forgiveness that this passage shows us. That to forgive, it will cost us something that we might not get back. It releases us. But also, the call to have compassion to understand but the other person is also broken. And Jesus says time and time again in the Bible, pray for those who hurt you, pray for those who are your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. And so the reason why this compassion word is so important is it's saying, when we can grow in Christian maturity to the point where we think, actually, it wasn't right, but I understand that that person is hurt and broken as well, and therefore I will pray for that person. I will pray blessing for the person who has hurt me, the person who has damaged me, the person who has wronged me. I will pray blessing upon that person. And that is to have the compassion of Christ, and it then releases the power of God into your life and their life. But there's a few last things I want to say, though. So we talk about forgiveness. I know for some people in this room, they might be thinking that you've gone through that you just think are unforgivable. And forgiveness is a journey. So now I want to talk about all things that forgiveness isn't. There's a lot of myths about what we think forgiveness might be. First of all, forgiveness is not condoning the actions of someone. It's not saying, oh, that person was fine. It's not sort of wiping it out and going, ah, oh, doesn't matter anymore. Forgiveness is not condoning the actions of someone else. It's not saying that was fine. When you choose to forgive someone, there is still a real thing that's happened. There's a cost that you have to assume. It doesn't mean that the debt is now paid off. It just means that doesn't mean to say that what happened was right. It just means that you're now choosing to assume that cost and be released from that, and you're choosing to have compassion within that situation. Forgiveness is not to condone the actions of other people. Forgiveness is not necessarily to forget. You often hear that word, don't you? Forgive and forget. But actually, if you've been really hurt by someone, or you've been really damaged by someone, or someone's done something to you, you can forgive them, but it might be that actually you now have to put in appropriate boundaries between you and that person. So you can forgive them, but it doesn't mean to say the fact you don't have to become best friends with them. Because sometimes if someone's been very damaging and very hurtful towards you, you need to forgive them in order to release yourself, and to release them, but to release yourself. But then you might have to put in appropriate boundaries and behaviour that means actually it protects you and keeps you safe. The next thing is, forgiveness is not the same as trust. I imagine that the king in this parable, after a man has not been able to pay back his debt, probably will not lend him money again. And so forgiveness doesn't mean to say you have to trust that person again. Trust is something that is earned between people. So forgiveness does not mean that once you've forgiven them, you then immediately trust them again. Because trust is earned. But the action of forgiveness can bring release to you and release to them. It releases you from being in a hostage situation with that particular issue between you. It sets you free, forgiveness sets you free. But trust is very different from forgiveness. Next thing is, forgiveness is different from reconciliation. Forgiveness is different from reconciliation. Reconciliation is when two parties come together recognizing that there's an issue there, and they talk about it together in dialogue, and they resolve the issue. And it requires two parties together to bring about a conclusion and a resolution. Forgiveness doesn't require both of you. Forgiveness starts with you. It then might lead into reconciliation and actions of forgiveness either way, but it's not the same thing. Reconciliation is a much bigger topic, and it requires dialogue, and it's something more than just forgiveness. And lastly, forgiveness is different from the issue of justice and consequences. You don't forgive someone and then go, it's fine. If someone murdered someone you cared about and loved, you can choose to forgive them, but it doesn't mean to say that they shouldn't go to prison for it. There are consequences to our actions, I said at the beginning. That our actions have consequences. And so forgiveness isn't saying, well, that person shouldn't get any issue, shouldn't have any consequence to the action they've chosen. And those consequences might be boundaries that you put in place. It might be that they've lost your trust. It might be a whole number of things. But if someone wrongs you a certain way, sometimes you need to make sure there's consequences to those actions. Forgiveness is not just saying, oh, it's all fine and dandy and lovely. And so we have to be really careful with not throwing the word forgiveness around and not understanding the power that it has, but also what it actually means. Because probably on that list there's things that you've gone, oh, I thought forgiveness was that. I thought to forgive someone, I had to do this. I had to trust them again. I had to be friends with them again. I had to be in good relationship with them again. And it's a journey. And for some things, if someone should say a comment to you, and it's been a bit offensive, and you think, oh, okay, you can forgive and move on from that really easily and quickly. But if someone has physically hurt you, that's a very different situation. And it requires different levels of forgiveness, and it requires different timescales of forgiveness, and it requires different ways of doing things. So I hope this one made you think about what forgiveness might be, what it costs, how it brings release, how compassion works within that. I hope I've shown you what forgiveness isn't. So I can't preach on forgiveness today and cover every aspect of it. I can't. It's too big for that. Maybe it's a series we'll do in the future. But I hope I've given you a bit of a glimpse and an overview of that. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand out to everyone is just an example of a pathway to forgiveness that you can use to help you think about where there might be unresolved issues, where there might be unresolved forgiveness, and how to work through that before God. I'm not saying this is the only way of doing it. You might find a better way of doing it. You might have your own way. But to give you something to go away with, to think, help you think about how to actually do this, because it's lovely me saying forgiveness is all these things, just go and do it, but how do you do it? And so that's why I've given you this to you. And the first step on here is about asking God to show you where you've been wronged in your life. Because there might be things that you need to forgive, which are blockages in the flow of God's Spirit in your life, which you're not even aware of. It could be issues to do with our parents, it could be issues to do with family members, it could be issues to do with people in the church. But there might be things in our life which we need to seek forgiveness in. We need to forgive other people. Last few things I'll say is this. You can't forgive a faceless entity. What do I mean by that? Forgiveness is personal. I've said this before. When people say, the church has hurt me, what they mean is someone in the church who is a person has hurt me. When people then go, the church, you can't forgive a faceless entity. It's personal. So if you can't work out who it was who offended you, you need to ask God and say, where did this happen? Where did I get this resentment towards church? Or it could be your workplace. This company offended me or did something to me. I can't possibly forgive them. Well, it wasn't a big company, was it? It wasn't a corporation. It's faceless. It was a person. And so in our lives, forgiveness has to be personal. It's about relationships. It's about individual connections. And so it can't be, I've been hurt by this big thing. I've been hurt by the council. I've been hurt by the government. I've been hurt by, it's not a faceless entity. It's a person. And so when you're dealing with forgiveness, it's saying, God, who is the people, who is the person that I need to be looking for forgiveness in this? I've told you before, I have heard so many Christians say to me, I've been hurt by church. And it's just like, what's that even mean? Because church isn't a thing, it's people. And so we have to look to resolve those issues with people. And often people then use that as an excuse to not be in church, to run away from things that they need to actually face. See, forgiveness removes the blockages from our lives, allowing the flow of the Holy Spirit to bring wholeness, healing, life, and love. When there's something in our life that is unforgiveness, it holds us captive, it holds us hostage, and it means that there's a blockage in our life where we don't let God go because it might mean a cost to us. And only when we remove the blockages of unforgiveness in our life does it allow God's Spirit to flow into those areas and then bring about new life. Think about a few weeks ago, I was talking about in Hezekiah, I was talking about the shadows moving backwards. Now, the cost might never be paid back to you, but I believe in a God who brings redemption. And there's words from Joel, it says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten away. that you may have been hurt in a way which is just awful and terrible and never justified. And to forgive, it will cost you something. What I truly believe is when we do this before God, we remove that blockage in our life and we let the Spirit of God flow into that, it will bring new wholeness, it will bring new hope, it will bring new healing, it will bring new life. And it won't mean that what happened to you doesn't matter anymore, but it means that God will bring a redemption out of what's happened. And that is the power of the Christian story. Death and resurrection. That where there has been a cost, God brings out new life. So this morning, may you know the hope of Jesus, that when he says, forgive, forgive, forgive again, it's not because it's to be a nice person, it's to set you free and release you and to remove blockages in our life that otherwise hold us hostage and captive and gives the enemy a place where he can get in and rob and steal from us. God's Spirit brings wholeness and healing and new life. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not easy. But I've given you an example of where you can maybe work through some questions to help in that process of seeking forgiveness. For some of you, you can do some of that today. For some of you, it will be, God, there's a person I need to forgive, and it's going to take a lifetime to do it. That's okay, but recognize that it's something which is an issue. Don't just bury it and hide it. So I invite you to look at the questions in front of you. Let's just have a moment of stillness. And maybe just ask God, say, God, is there anything in me, any unresolved unforgiveness, that actually today maybe I need to ask your help in bringing about that freedom? And then we're going to come to the communion table and we're going to share communion together. So this is a good opportunity to just think through, actually, is there anyone I'm not at peace with? Is there anyone I'm not in good relationship with? Is there anyone that I'm holding a grudge against or an offense against? And we looked at the very beginning of this series about the woman who anoints Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, those who are forgiven much, love much. Forgiveness breeds love. And the communion table we come to is a symbol of God's forgiveness towards us and how we then walk into new life in his love. Let's take a moment to just be quiet before God and just pause and ask God these questions in our hearts.